You're listening to Seeking Office, the Vancouver Municipal Election Podcast. Thank you for listening. My name's Alex DeBoer. Vancouver's 2018 municipal election results are in. Independent candidate Kennedy Stewart is our mayor-elect, and council is made up of three Greens, one Cope, one City, and five NPA councillors. Besides Kennedy Stewart, not a single independent candidate was elected to council, park board, or school board. Additionally, 8 seats out of our 10-seat council have been filled by women, but only one out of our 10 councillors identifies as a visible minority. So, what happened to the year of the independent? And how did our council turn out to be mostly white in a city where more than half the population isn't? I spoke with Globe and Mail reporter and UBC School of Journalism professor Frances Beulah to get her perspective. To start out, this was supposed to be the year of the independent, and not a single independent was elected to council, school board, or parks board. What happened, in your opinion?
Well, I was kind of predicting this weeks ago. At first, I had started off thinking this was the year of the independent, and then as it became clear how confusing the ballot was going to be and how many choices people had, it became clear to me that people were feeling overwhelmed. And I said, I think that they're going to go back to just voting brands because they can't make sense out of it all. And that's exactly what happened. It was brands.
Right. And in particular, the NPA did quite well in this election, despite, you know, new limits on how much people can donate to political parties and despite an influx in independent candidates and also all these new political parties that popped up. So why do you think the NPA in particular did so well in this election?
Well, we don't know for sure, but it looks like it's because their voters really voted the slate, whereas people on the left progressive side voted for these kind of artisanally curated lists of some progressive parties and some independents. And so they kind of spread their votes around and ensured that no one from their choices would get in because, you know, they were just not as focused and as disciplined in voting a clear slate as the NPA was.
Right. And so that's not so much an issue of left versus right, because there were more parties on the right. It's more people trusting the NPA in particular.
Mm-hmm.
In this election, voter turnout was down from 44% in our previous election to 39% in this municipal election. Do you have any thoughts on why that might be?
Well, again, you know, people were predicting this for weeks because so many people were confused by the ballot. I think the fact that Vision was sort of seen as, you know, wounded and limping off the field also, you know, didn't motivate people to come out because they sort of felt, you know, a lot of people were tired of Vision. We want them to go. Well, it was clear they were going. And so people were a bit less motivated to come out to, you know, sort of throw the bums out, as it were.
Right. So something that really interested me was that in this election, Shauna Sylvester and Kennedy Stewart, both progressive independent mayoral candidates, were competing quite closely for votes from left-leaning voters. And in this election, their vote splitting almost caused the NPA's Ken Sim to become mayor. And I'm wondering, from your experience reporting on local politics over the years, why you think politicians in high-stakes situations like this choose to compete with one another and split the vote and potentially lose for their larger ideological beliefs than, say, one of them drop out and endorse the other?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real mix of personality and political calculation and so on. I mean, we see it all the time. Surrey First did the same thing. You know, half of their councillors went to a new party, and that guaranteed that Doug McCallum won, not because there was necessarily a massive populist wing to him, but because the ruling party was split in two. So, you know, people do it because they think, well, maybe the public will come with us, or even if I have to suffer some pain in this election, You know, this will pave the way for new choices in the next election. That's sometimes, you know, the thinking that people have. And sometimes it's just personal stubbornness. Mm-hmm. You know, when Shauna Sylvester first entered the race in April, she said, well, I'll bow out if there's a better candidate. And then she kind of backtracked on that, said, no, I'm in it for the long haul, and started accusing Kennedy Stewart of being the vote splitter because I was here first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so sometimes it's just a personality thing.
Right. And to change directions a bit, do you have any thought on why in a city where more than half the population identifies as being a visible minority, our new city council is almost entirely white?
Yeah, well, you know what? When we have had minority count, well, we shouldn't even say minority because they're now the majority, but whenever we've had non-white councillors, it's because a big, powerful party with a slate got them on. Mm. So, you know, when the NPA was at the top of its game, it would always include one or two Chinese-Canadian candidates. It would often include a South Asian one. Vision Vancouver was very deliberate in, you know, they ran with originally three Chinese-Canadian candidates, and they tried to maintain that. So those big parties can help get people from, you know, ethnic communities over the line. And also, there is some speculation that all the anti-Chinese chatter in Vancouver might have had an effect, that, you know, some people avoided voting for Chinese last names because of the resentment over foreign investment and so on.
That's interesting. Also, are you surprised that so many women were elected to council?
A little bit, yeah. You know, it's almost like people picked out the women from various slates and decided to go with them rather than the men. I am a bit surprised by that, and I don't have a good explanation for it.
You mean because there were cases where a party put forward a bunch of candidates and people chose the women versus the men?
Yeah, well, look at the NPA. I mean, it was half women, half men. And only the women got elected, not the men.
That's interesting, yeah. So you've said previously that Vision Vancouver is a strong party with lots of political experience in their ranks, and they were sort of preparing for a strategic defeat in this election. So with only one Vision candidate elected to any of our three bodies of local government, do you see Vision Vancouver as a future force in municipal politics in the city?
Well, I don't know if it'll be called Vision Vancouver, but I do think that the city is always going to be looking for something somewhat centrist. I think voters maybe have shifted a bit left because of the sense of inequity and anger in the city. So they've moved over to the more left-wing parties. But I don't know if that's going to last forever. And, you know, in the past, the history has been that the left, the hard left, could never win an election. The only time sort of left progressives got in is if some sort of more centrist coalition or party emerged. You know, Mike Harcourt, an independent in the 80s, Vision Vancouver in the 2000s.
Right. Last question. Jean Swanson of COPE was elected to city council, and, you know, she ran for mayor in 1988. She was sort of among Harry Rankin's crew back in the 80s. And I'm wondering, is this going to be something new for the city, having such a strong activist who's engaged in civil disobedience on council? Or, you know, is this something that happened before when COPE had a majority on council?
Well, it didn't happen when COPE had a majority. It did happen when they were perpetually in the minority and people would elect Harry Rankin over and over again. And even West Siders would throw him a vote just to have like an opposition voice on council. So actually, she's taking up a role that COPE has had for decades, which is just being like the hard left voice, constantly, you know, sort of raising that perspective on council, not really ever getting too far with it, but being that voice on council.
Right. But was Harry Rankin as, not to overuse the word radical, but as radical as Jean Swanson his activism? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you know, he wasn't a poverty advocate. He was a lawyer. And so, and I think he sometimes, you know, had a more realistic view of, you know, or a pragmatic view than Jean does. But he was very fiery and used a lot more expletives than Jean ever will. But no, he was a real force on council, constantly sort of bringing up this alternative point of view opinion about what the city should be doing. And sometimes he actually was successful, I think, in persuading people on the odd occasion. So no, I mean, Jean's in the tradition of COPE.
Interesting. Thank you so much for talking to me, Frances.
Okay, goodbye.
This episode was created by me, Alex DeBoer, and included the song We Are All Alone by Solace. Thank you for listening. Seeking Office is brought to you by CITR's News Collective and produced by Alex DeBoer. Our theme music is by Artem Bemba. Thank you for listening.